free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
We've got to do fourth. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Amen.
This brings us to our second lesson tonight. And again, a personal relationship with Jesus will reveal more about him. And we have as our speaker tonight, Elder Brian Johnson. He's the pastor at Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. He's been there for about 11 years. And he also is involved and has been for the last 8 years with prison ministry with a group called Men of Valor. And so I recommend your attention to Elder Brian Johnson.
Timer set up here. I would like to say it's a blessing to be here tonight. Count it a privilege to be invited to come and try to share some truth from God's holy word. Feel humbled to be here and come after Brother Moran. I really appreciate him and many others that have stayed the course for many years to set an example for others to follow. We need more and more of those examples, and I pray that I'll be that for the younger ones coming behind me. So thank you for having me. I appreciate your pastor, and I'm thankful that he's here, and pray that God will bless him in this new field of labor, and I know the church is praying for him as well. Before we dive in the scripture, I'd like to say that I have experienced the title that we're talking about. The title, A Personal Relationship with Jesus Will Reveal More About Him. Before I turned 5, my parents moved from Texas to Tennessee to raise me in a little town of Clarksburg. Clarksburg was a place where many of my ancestors on my dad's side, they had arrived there in the early 1800s. There were many missionary Baptist churches that are around that area, and so my mom and dad settled in that area, and I would hear about Jesus at home. I would hear about Jesus around my grandparents, and I would hear about Jesus at church. My dad would lead singing in that church outside of Cedar Grove, Tennessee. It'd be hard for you to find it if I were to tell you where it was located, but I'll tell you, God met with those folks there in that place. I didn't know the Lord at the time. I knew a lot about Him. And as my dad would lead those songs, there were a lot of songs that really had a lot of strong words that expressed who Jesus was. One of those in particular that I was thinking about that my dad would sing out of the old Heavenly Highway hymnal was Victory in Jesus. And I want you to listen to one of the lines of that song caught me. It says this, "O victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood." One of the phrases in that song, "He loved me ere I knew Him." I want to focus on that word "error" just a moment. That's not the word "error," short for "error." The word "error" here, "He loved me ere I knew Him." The word "error" there means that He loved me before I knew Him, preceding me knowing Him. He had a love for me. As we consider the words of the Apostle John in his gospel, we know that John had a great emphasis on the love of God. And as we think about a personal relationship with Jesus, it really is about the love of God. And as we consider the continuous walk with the Lord, it is about continuing to know His love in greater and deeper ways. And so John would tell us about the great big love of God, and just a few verses in that Gospel of John that would remind us of a few of the attributes of God's love. God's love is eternal. Jesus said, "Father, you love me before the foundation of the world." That's the same kind of love that I got when I entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. It was an eternal love or an everlasting love. The Gospel of John tells us about God's love is a generous love. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I was one of those that He gave Himself for me." For me, somebody like me. That's what it means to have a personal relationship with Him. God's love is also a faithful and enduring love. It tells us in John chapter 13, before Jesus was about to wash His disciples' feet, it says He loved them to the end. Can you imagine that when Jesus called them out, they began to understand the depths of God's love in greater and greater ways. Even in the hours before His death on the cross, He was revealing more and more of His love to them, that He would humble Himself, the King of glory, would wash the disciples' feet with water, but eventually, within the day, within 24 hours, He would be going to the cross and willing to wash their sins away in His own precious blood. And so there's so many layers as we consider a personal relationship with Jesus where we reveal more about Him. God's love is a sacrificial love. "Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Jesus said that there in John chapter 10 verse 17 and chapter 15, verse 13, He said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." His love is also a conquering love. That's the very basis of this Bible study, that we see in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and that resurrection, that His love, as it says over in the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, that love is strong as death. I'll tell you that Jesus' love is stronger than death. I might be able to love my wife all the way to the point of death, but I tell you, Jesus Christ was able to love us through death and all the way to the other side. Oh, what a love He has demonstrated toward us, that He would give Himself for us. God's love is a personal and an intimate love. Listen to what John tells us in chapter 16, verse 27. "For the Father Himself loves you." The Father Himself loves you. He's talking to His disciples, because "you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." How more personal and intimate can He relate that to us? In the other Gospels, He would tell us that how He would look at Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a mother hen would gather her chicks under her wings, in a place of protection, in a place of you don't mess with them, in a place of tenderness. And Jesus said, many in Israel would not come. But I tell you, if you've been born of the Spirit of God, you came and you're under the shadow of the Almighty tonight in a very personal and an intimate way, just like that mother hen watches over those little chicks. I'll tell you, God is watching over His people today. And every now and then He gives us a glimpse that I'm looking at you and I see you, and this personal relationship with Jesus just continues to reveal more and more about Him and about His love. The longer we serve Him, the sweeter He grows. It just keeps on going on and on and on. But tonight, it's not just a conquering love and a personal and intimate love. We'll engage just for a little while and talk about Peter and see that God's love is a restoring love. Sometimes we go astray and we get out there in the cold world and in the darkness, and God woos us back and He calls us back just like He did Peter. And we realize that it is a restoring love that God has demonstrated to us. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this as we consider that old song, Victory in Jesus. I believe that we can sing it on this resurrection ground, on this side of the resurrection. We can certainly sing, oh, victory in Jesus. And those precious words, He loved me ere I knew Him. Before I ever knew Him, He was looking down on me and He saw me even in the midst of my sin, because it tells us in Paul's writings in chapter 5, verse 8, that God commended His love toward us in this, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. Before I knew of His love, when my heart was black with sin and hard as a stone, Jesus Christ, and in the warmth and tender affection of God's love, was willing to go to the cross and die in my place. And you got to get it all the way down there to my place. My place. He died for me. If you don't get it, if you keep it all general, you won't ever get saved. You got to get, I need a Savior. I need that love. I need the love of God shed abroad in my heart. And so as we consider the subject tonight, a personal relationship with Jesus will reveal more about Him. A few things I want us to cover in our brief time. Number one, the world does not have a personal relationship with Jesus. The world does not have a personal relationship with Jesus. Secondly, I want us to consider this. Having a personal relationship with Jesus, it is one of the most vital things in this world. I would say it is the most vital thing in this world that people have a personal relationship with Jesus. Number three, a personal relationship with Jesus will reveal more about Him. I want to spend a little bit of time as we get toward the end of this lesson and consider Mary Magdalene and Peter and John and Thomas. Those are the four names and the four individuals that are mentioned in John chapter 20 that had a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And I'll tell you this, they got to know some more about our Lord in ways that they could never fathom or imagine, because most of them thought it was all over when He died on the cross and He was buried. Several of the disciples didn't even go to the burial place. Mary Magdalene did. She looked upon it, but many of them scattered and they thought it was over. And old Peter, we'll find him in just a little while, he said, I'm just going to go fishing because I don't even know what to do with my life anymore. But I'll tell you, he learned something about the Lord on the other side of that resurrection. And that love of God gripped him once again, restored him, and sent him back out into the ministry. The ministry not fishing for fish, but fishing for men. And so we'll look at that in just a minute, and then we'll close on practical application, how to keep the love of God burning bright in your life. Any relationship requires time. It requires cultivation. It requires maintenance. We constantly have got to stoke the fire of God's love in our hearts. The Bible says to keep yourself in the love of God. And hopefully we'll be able to look at a few of those things in just a minute. Let's read for our text in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And so John is writing this entire gospel after the resurrection. Perhaps many decades have gone by. The Lord has revealed more things to him. The Holy Spirit has brought these things to his remembrance, and he gives us a very structured gospel that God had given to him to give to us today. So that in itself is a reminder that a personal relationship with Jesus will reveal more about him. We see that in John's life. But he recognizes that many people in the world do not know Jesus. He's concerned about two things as he writes this verse 31, but these are written, the purpose of this book, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Number one, he was concerned about conversion. He was concerned about those in the world that did not know Jesus, that they might come to know Jesus, and that in believing that they might have life in his name. He was concerned about conversion, and then he was concerned about living the Christian life, because the hour that you first believe is just the beginning of the journey. It's the moment of God's self-disclosure unto you, and he opens up your eyes for the first time, and he wants to continue to open up your eyes to his greatness, not only through this life, but I want you to know, we're not going to know everything about God the moment we get on the other side. I believe that part of heaven is God's continuous revealing of himself throughout all of eternity, because God is inexhaustible. You will never be able to know every single thing about God all at one time, because you and I are finite creatures. But I tell you this, we're going to know more about him in 10,000 years and 20,000 years and a million years. We're going to know more and more about the depth and the greatness and the vastness of God's love. And we might be able to say that, Lord, I wish we could just get that song, Oh Victory in Jesus, and sing it one more time in glory. Because when I read those words, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him, it would have a whole new meaning about 10,000 years from now over into eternity, that I didn't even understand that you loved me from everlasting, the eternity past all the way to eternity future, as high as heaven and as low as hell, you rescued me and brought me out of a place of destruction. And so we see God's vast, great love. John is concerned about people believing and about people living the Christian life. Now, what must be believed in order for someone to know the love of God? That Jesus is the Christ. Article number 4 of the New Hampshire Confession says this: we believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God, who by the appointment of the Father freely took upon him our nature yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience. He loved God and he loved me, and he obeyed him to the fullness. It says, and by his death made a full atonement for our sins, that having risen from the dead, he is now enthroned in heaven, and in uniting in his wonderful person the tenderest sympathies with divine perfection, he is every way qualified to be suitable, a compassionate and all-sufficient Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. I'm glad that he opened up my eyes and enabled me to believe, to turn from my sin, to turn from the lust of this world, and to turn to the life-giving love of Almighty God. Jesus, you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit testified to that in the very opening verses of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist bore witness to that. He said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. If you want to be saved by God's grace, you must believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, part of this walk with God, it begins at conversion. That personal relationship with Jesus, it begins at conversion, but it's not to stop at conversion. It is a full-orb Christian life, full of joy, full of happiness, full of vitality, full of strength, even in the lowest of valleys, because God's love will meet you there. His hand will be upon you, as He said there in John chapter 10, that the double grip of God will secure you in His love, that you will be in Christ's hand, and Christ's hand is in the Father's hand, and nobody can ever take you out of that place. That is the secure and safe place that we have, no matter what we may go through in this life. And that is that love that motivates us and strengthens us for this journey. There are some very high mountains that God calls us to climb upon, and there are some mighty low and deep and dark ravines in this life, but I tell you, there's not a place where the light of God and the love of God does not show up, because He is with you, and not only is He with you, but when you get saved, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, and there's no place that God does not go with you. He will carry you, even if you become like the prodigal that goes out there and wastes his life in riotous living. If you've been saved by the grace of God, that love will jerk you back, or He will jerk you home. One or the other, He's going to take care of His own. There is a sin unto death, and I pray that not that you ask for it. Some have gone home a little prematurely, because if you are naming the name of Christ, He's not going to let you keep living in sin. So the world does not have a personal relationship with Jesus. Many people know about the historical Jesus. Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more." The Apostle Paul says there, he said, I used to see Jesus from a fleshly perspective. He was a historical figure that I absolutely hated. He disgusted me because I saw Him as a lawbreaker. But oh, when He opened up my eyes on the road to Damascus, that's another one that got a glimpse, a personal relationship with Jesus. And the love of God and the light of God flooded his soul and opened up his eyes. He said, hey, that man that I thought that I hated was a man that even in my hatred toward him, his love pursued me and tracked me down and brought me down to my knees. And He opened up my eyes to what I really needed, because I was empty. I just had religion. I didn't have a relationship with Almighty God, and He tracked him down. Paul said, many people just have a view of Jesus. If you ask people in Bowling Green, Kentucky, what do you know about Jesus? They would say something similar. Well, I know about George Washington, and I know about George Whitefield, and I know about George Herman Babe Ruth. But I tell you, you can know all of those individuals and not know the man. I tell you, there's a lot of people that know the name of Jesus, but they don't know Him. Many people are open-minded and ever-learning, but never willing to come to a knowledge of the truth. The convictional truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, has not taken up root in their soul. Maybe they had a temporary emotional experience when they heard something about Jesus, but it never took deep root in their soul, and they may have gone with Him for a little while, but when trouble and trial came along, they just drifted to the wayside because they never got a grip on the love of God and the real reality of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. There are many in the world today that are Christian in name only. Just name only, and that's not going to work, I'll tell you that. Many people can know about Jesus through the Scriptures. There's a lot of people that know about the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. Jesus told some of the Pharisees, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have everlasting life, and they are they that testify of Me." I'll tell you, you can know the Bible without knowing God. You need to know Him. There are a lot of people that have a close affiliation with Jesus. I was in that category for up until age 22. I had a close affiliation with Jesus. As Luke's Gospel chapter 13 tells us, that the old master, when he goes to shut his door, there was a man standing on the outside and knocking. He said, "Stranger, I don't know who you are." And he said, "Hey, we've eaten with you in the streets, and we've heard you teach, and we've heard you preach." There's a lot of people who've heard messages preached, and they've been around church potlucks, and close affiliation with Jesus does not equal salvation. You got to know Him, and that's what John is trying to get at, that a personal relationship with Jesus is of vital and utmost importance, because it's absolutely tragic to leave this world without knowing Jesus and having the love of God in your heart. Jesus said this, He saw the hearts of the people in His day in John chapter 5 and verse 42, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Jesus said that about those folks. And so it's important to have a personal relationship with Jesus. As we think about a personal relationship with Jesus, we'll reveal more about Him. There's a beautiful thing that we all, every single human being, can go out in creation and see God's general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament declare His handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech, and night unto night they utter knowledge. There is no language where their voice is not heard. Creation testifies to the eternal power of God. But we need something more. This is why the preaching of the gospel is so important today, because we need something more. The old Baptist up in Philadelphia wrote these words about the Holy Scripture in their confession. Listen to this. This is why we need the special revelation, God's holy word, to open up our eyes. The Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet they are not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and His will which is necessary unto salvation. Brothers in here, if God has called you to preach, I want to encourage you to preach, because God has given us a special revelation of His Word that we might understand that He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. The world needs to understand that God has devised a plan even from eternity past, that He has demonstrated His love toward humanity, that they might see that Jesus went to the old rugged cross to die for our sin that leads people into addiction, a sin that leads people into broken relationships and living on the streets and into prisons and jails. It can take you so far out there. The real Jesus died for real sin on a real cross, and He rose again on the third day in a real body so that He might demonstrate the power of God's love to rescue us and redeem us from our own selves and our own self-destruction. The Bible tells us there in the Scriptures, the world by its wisdom did not know God. The world in their love and pursuit of philosophy, people go and they get a doctorate of philosophy. That means that they have a love of wisdom. They love the wisdom of this world. But all the wisdom of this world, all the observation that humanity tries to look out at creation and try to find God, it is insufficient. It will not get you there. You need the wisdom of God that might lead you down to an altar of repentance, to crying out to a holy God for mercy, that I need a Savior. And in that seemingly foolish practice and foolishness of preaching, God works a mighty work in the souls of mankind. And so I encourage you to keep on preaching, because God delights in the preaching of His Son, and He opens up blinded eyes. No doubt, as Mary Magdalene and John and Peter and Thomas were there in the days of John the Baptist, God was starting a revival in that day. I began to think about that if you were to start a revival, you would go right smack dab in the middle of Bowling Green and you would try to find the most people. But I'll tell you, the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God sent John the Baptist out into the wilderness, and the power of God was drawing people from all over the place out in the middle of the desert. And some of those people were like Peter and John, and perhaps Thomas, and they heard this man, John, preach a message of repentance, and they began to get concerned about the internal nature of their soul, and they realized that, hey, we know some things about the Old Testament, and we've heard that the Messiah is going to come, but we do not know Him. And one day, John, the apostle, was with John the Baptist, I believe, and he looked over and he saw Jesus. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Tradition says he was one of those two that was there standing with John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's the one that came to demonstrate the love and the power of God to save you from your sin. Now, we don't have a very clear understanding of exactly what happened in Mary Magdalene's life, but I'll tell you, she got a dose of the radical love of Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, it tells us in verse 1 through 3 that Jesus was going about with his 12 disciples, but there were some other women that were gathered with him, and some of them had various infirmities, and some of them were filled with devils. And I'll tell you, Mary Magdalene had 7 devils, not just one devil, not just 2 devils, but she was a wild and out of control woman, no telling. You did not want to tangle with her in her pre-conversion lifestyle. I guarantee you, she probably would have busted you in the nose if you said something unkind. But I tell you, something got a hold to her in the preaching of those ministers there, and she began to understand. How do we know it? Because this woman, from Luke chapter 8, all the way to the cross, all the way to the tomb, all the way when he was buried, all the way to the empty tomb on the first day of the week, all the way to the other side of that, she was devoted to Jesus. Amen. And she learned some things about him. What about John? I said there earlier, he heard John the Baptist say, behold, the Lamb of God. And he began to follow Jesus. What about old Peter? When did that journey with him begin? I don't know for certain, but I'll tell you, a good evidence of that would be in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. We know that he for sure had it at that point. Jesus said there, who do you say that I am? He said, you are. Well, let's back up. If he gets this question wrong, he's guilty of idolatry. He's worthy of being stoned. But he doesn't get this wrong. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, this is how you have a personal relationship with Jesus, which is why many modern evangelistic practices really concern me. Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. I'll tell you, when the Father opens up your eyes to who the Son is through the power of the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, you will know on the inside of yourself that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit will demonstrate that fact by pouring out the love of God in your heart and giving you the peace of God in your soul. As a brother preached on just a little while ago, you'll understand it for yourself. They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Whether they're the youngest child or the oldest man or woman, they will know that they know that they know the love of God. That's the personal relationship that we're talking about. Now, what happens once you do believe? That's what I want to get into just for a little bit longer. A personal relationship with Jesus will reveal more about Him. So you get saved, but that's just the beginning of the journey. Now, I've got on my bathroom counter in our room, my wife placed this picture, this wedding picture of her and I about 18 years ago. Do you know that when I first saw her, I thought I knew her? I'm looking back on 18 years of layers of history of knowing her, and I thought I knew her then. I'll confess, I think I know her now. But every now and then I get reminded that I don't know her as well as I thought I knew her. Anybody, any marriages in here think you read your wife's mind and then you realize I was trying to do everything that I thought I should do. I knew what I knew, but I didn't fully maybe understand. And so we see this walk with God. I look back on my wife and that marriage and I see I know her more today than I did yesterday. But I'm planning on knowing her, if God grants me tomorrow, I'm planning on knowing her more tomorrow than I did today and than I did yesterday. And I want you to understand that in the concept of your relationship with God. He loved me ere I knew Him. When I got saved, all I knew about that moment in time, I had heard about the eternal love of God, but really, I wasn't even concerned about that. I needed somebody to rescue me right now. Right now, help me right now in this hour. If you don't save me, nobody can. But as I've been walking with Him the last 20 years, I realized that he didn't just love me that night at 2:20 in the morning when I was crying out to him. He had loved me a long time ago when my parents had moved from Texas to Tennessee to allow me to be around all those churches, to be able to go into that church and to hear that old song, Victory in Jesus, to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of him, and to be reminded. I didn't even catch that phrase. He loved me ere I knew him. I sang that over and over again, and it really didn't just hit me until a few weeks ago. How great it was. Isn't that how the love of God goes? Isn't that how, as we continue to, we believe, but we're still believing, and part of that believing is continuing to walk with Him and getting to His Word and to pray and to draw near to Him in that intimate place with Him and to know Him more. I know Him, but I don't know Him. And I want to know Him more and more with each passing day. It's just something about His love that just keeps on drawing me back. And I think I know some things, but then He just totally opens up my eyes to a few more things. And I realize, Lord, there's so much I don't know. I used to think my dad had a refrigerator magnet that said, hire a teenager while they still know everything. And the older I get, the more I realize I have got so much to learn about God. I've got so much to learn about people. I got so much more to learn about the depths of the gospel and the glories and perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have Him all figured out. I've got so much to learn about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and about the glorious gospel that He's commissioned us to go out into. I've got so much more to learn about the ethnicities of people all around me. There's just so much more to learn. But the love of God motivates you to keep on learning and keep on growing and keep on drawing near and keep on confessing sin when you get it wrong. And so we see here in this story, I'll just highlight a few things from these particular individuals. Mary Magdalene, what does she come to know more about the Lord? I believe that if she had been based on her outcast mentality, that she was filled with seven devils, she was on the outskirts of Israel society, was she not? The Jewish rabbis of that day did not allow women to engage very much or to speak or to come along. But Jesus said, hey, you come and follow me. I believe Jesus said, I want you to have the highest theological education that you possibly can have. I want you to know me because I need you to be a strong woman of God. So follow me. And so she followed it. And they offered up money from their own resources. These women, apparently, that were following Jesus, they were women of means, and they were offering up money to be able to support the work of the ministry. I'll tell you, she came to know some more things about the Lord. One of my favorite things that she came to know, though, was she didn't realize that the resurrection was going to take place. That was brand new. She had a heart that she said that even when the man appeared on the scene and she didn't know who he was, she had this kind of heart. She said, if you'll just tell me where his body is, I will go. Look at the devotion. If you'll just tell me where you've hid his body or they've taken his body, I'll go and get his body and I'll bring it back and I'll take care of it and I'll anoint it with spices and wrap it in linen. If you'll just tell me. And then Jesus says these words, Mary, Mary, personal, very personal, very close. You know, God, she didn't know the comfort of God's love like she just did at that moment. She just got comforted in ways that she had never been comforted for in her life. And I'll tell you, God is that kind of God. He's going to do that. He will comfort you in your trials, in your tribulations at various times so that there's going to be somebody else that's going to come along and God's going to enable you to comfort them. That's just one moment. What about Peter? Peter was an overconfident individual. He said, I'm going to go with you to the end. I'll never deny you. Jesus said, hey, I prayed for you, Peter. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And in his overconfidence as the leader of the apostles, on the very hottest moment of trial when Jesus was being taken to trial, Peter denied him three times. You know, many times when you are in your hardest moments and someone doesn't show up or someone denies you, or they forget about you, we're often really cruel toward people that, hey, you forgot me in my hardest, most difficult hour. I'm going to give you evil for evil, and I'm going to give you a little bit of cold shoulder and a silent treatment. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Peter learned something about Jesus because he needed to be developed in being a better pastor. Because Jesus there on that Sea of Galilee on the other side of the resurrection, he gave Peter the opportunity to be restored. His vision had been lost for the ministry. He didn't really know what to do with himself. He said to some of the other disciples, "Hey, I'm going to go fishing. Y'all want to go with me?" And they followed him because he was a leader by nature, but God had worked that inside of him. But I tell you, Jesus there on that Sea of Galilee restored his vision for the ministry. And not only did he restore his vision for the ministry, but he restored him to himself. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Feed my lambs." "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." He said those things three times. Because most of us, when someone really hurts us and cuts us really, really deep, we're ready to give up on them. This is why I believe there on that seaside, Jesus said, "Peter, my love's not like your love. My love's a lot deeper, a lot greater. I loved you before you even knew me. And I'm going to stick with you. Because I put my name on you. And I've called you to live for me from here on out." What about John? What did he get to know? I don't have enough time to go into all the things that he got to know. Some of the things that we might consider is that God endowed him with the ability to write five books of the New Testament and compose those things for us that we might know more of the love of God. This gospel that I'm sharing with you out of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Revelation. Even in old age, I can imagine when John was there in old age, and I've heard older folks say things like this, that, man, most of the people that I knew has already gone to the other side. They're already gone, and you feel there's a sense of loneliness sometimes as you get up in age, as you suffer widowhood, and you go through those seasons of your life, and you're wondering, is anybody there? Can you imagine John being exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? I can imagine the loneliness or the difficulty of being there on that island, that work camp, because of his love for Jesus. And then in this moment, many years, a few decades after Jesus is resurrected, there's a debate on the actual time frame of the book of Revelation. I don't know at the moment. But I do know this. He saw Jesus in greater light than he'd ever seen him in his entire life. So if you're older in age and you're wondering, hey, sometimes it gets tough and I'm going through health battles and troubles and trials that I've never faced, and many of my relatives and friends that I used to call, they're already gone to the other side and I can't talk to them. I want you to know you've got a friend in Jesus. And his glory hasn't been diminished. I love this part of it. When he saw the risen Christ, it said he fell down as a dead man. But Jesus said, hey, perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it? He said, hey, fear not. Get up. I'm the one that was dead. And I'm not quoting exactly right. I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. What about Thomas? Thomas gives us one of the... He too, there early in the Gospels, I believe it was sometime around when Lazarus had died, but Jesus said he's sleeping, and they're kind of talking about it. And Thomas said, hey, I'm not afraid to go with you. I'm not even afraid to die. Do you know what that guy did? When it came to Jesus actually dying on the cross, the Bible says the shepherd is smitten and the sheep scattered. He didn't keep his word either, did he? How many people have broken their promises toward you? Had anybody broken promises toward you and you were, man, can I trust them again? I'll tell you, if you've got the love of God in your heart, he will enable you and strengthen you to be able to love and rebuild trust with people who have perhaps even broken their promises with you. That's the power of God's love. And as Brother Moran shared with us just a little while, Thomas got to see Jesus on the other side of that. And he gave us one of the greatest declarations of the deity of Jesus. He said, my Lord and my God. I want to close with this. as we think about how to keep the love of God burning bright in your heart. Know Jesus Christ. Do you have the love of God in your heart? Worship Jesus Christ privately and publicly. Be like John, who fell down and realized, God, how great you are. Jesus, how great you are. And then realize, oh, what a friend I have in Jesus who lifts me up from some of those moments. Maintain your growth. Paul said that. We're all at different levels and different stages in our walk with God. You don't have to be. Brother Miranda has been walking with the Lord several decades. You don't have to be that far along if you're young. Walk, maintain your growth. Keep on learning. Keep on growing. Keep on investing your heart. Give your life over to Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him daily. Maintain your growth. Set your desires on the Lord. There's so many things. Spend time with Him. Be a lifelong learner. And I want to close with this. Look forward to getting to know the Lord more each day and throughout eternity. The old song, I'm glad I know the blessed Savior. For through His blood, He set me free. Though rough the road, I shall not waver. For some glad day, His face I'll see. John said, come, Lord Jesus. The chorus goes, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I'll tell you the greatest thing that I want to know is Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus will reveal more about Him. It's exciting to know Jesus. I don't know what He's going to show me tonight, before I go to bed. I don't know what He's going to reveal to me tomorrow as I get into His Word. But I tell you, it'll involve life and love and light. And I can't think of any better friend to stay close to than Him. Appreciate you hearing me tonight, and pray that some of these words bless your heart. Brother Jason.